Welcome to the Virgo Experience Podcast. I am Sharice.
And I'm Shari.
And we are back once again, another week. closer to 2022. Do you normally do New Year's resolutions?
I try not to. I know that's not a weird answer. I say I try not to because last year, because you know, we had to switch up some things. Mm-hmm. I sat my family down and we just kind of wrote down on a piece of paper like what we want to change for different. And then mm-hmm. we sealed it up and but I don't do that weight loss New Year's resolution. So I don't do that.
I have done that in the past. And then pretty much by January 2nd at high noon, I have already failed.
Like SpongeBob, 24 hours later.
not even a full 48 hours. Like, it is January 2nd. It is high noon. And I have already failed. I have set myself up for failure with, like, okay, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat right. That is a complete setup, especially for me, somebody who despises cooking. Don't do it. So I was trying to think, like, I was on Instagram over on my travel page, and somebody had asked, like, what are your goals for like 2022? And I was like, I haven't written them down. I had them in my head. I forgot them. So hopefully by New Year's Eve, they will come back to me and I'll remember them. But I normally don't really do a whole lot because I feel like sometimes you set yourself up for failure uh-huh. when you try to be like, you know what, I'm going to make $1 million, or I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year, or I'm going to, get married by the end of 2022. Like, I feel like those goals are attainable, but I feel like, what are your small, like, start with small, like small goals. Like, okay, I'm going to eat a salad once a week, or I'm going to invest in crypto, every time I get paid or something like that. I feel like if you hard, like dead set on like big resolutions, because I never keep mine.
I don't like to even term them as resolutions. Like, I don't like to use the word diet, because when I say those things, it's almost like it's an automatic failure. It's a no-go. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's a no,
not
for
gonna
me.
Happen. Yeah.
No.
Like, it's, no.
No. I would rather hear the words of like lifestyle change
uh-huh.
or something like that, because yeah, diet just makes me, I can feel like the anxiety coming on, like
oh, yeah.
what to do, where to go, what to buy. Oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. Now I'm in a car and Chick-fil-A's parking lot waiting on curbside because I didn't went to Trader Joe's and bought all this healthy food, but because I get overwhelmed, I need Chick-fil-A.
Right.
True story. It has happened.
I get a Chick-fil-A salad and then get a small fry on the side. I am a fry lover. I have always had a horrible relationship, which I love fries, but I should not eat them. But I just love fries.
Here's the thing. Everybody has something that they love and probably shouldn't eat, but they eat it anyway.
Yes.
Long as you probably not, not eating it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I think you will be all right. So yeah, no resolutions for me. Maybe goals that hopefully come back in my memory by New Year's Eve so I can actually write them down. Yeah, because I can't even remember what they are to even tell y'all. That's absolutely terrible.
Heck, I just want to travel more and yeah. like in the state, not in the state, Lord Jesus, travel more, in the United States. And I want to, I'm going to get me a life coach.
Okay.
That's something I have talked to my doctor about, getting a life coach. And because I have ADD, so I forget a lot. And it's just, I'm tired of, you know, being forgetful and not because my memory's bad, but it's just that stuff just slips my mind. You know what I'm saying? A lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just tired, you know. But and the other thing is just to not to diet, but to be healthier. But you know, times when I have lost weight, and you know, my husband be like, "Oh, it looks like you lost weight." He has learned not to tell me. Like, do not tell me, because if you tell me that I look like I've lost weight, I feel like I can eat a donut.
And then you get off track.
And I get off track.
And all it takes is that one time to get off track.
That one time.
Yeah. I think I know for me, I definitely want to eat better than what I did. I do, because I'm surprised I don't have scurvy like a pirate, because I don't eat enough fruits and vegetables, and I don't get enough sun, because I like the darkness like a vampire. So like, yeah, those are things that I'm gonna, now those are, yeah, healthier eating, and I need to get more vitamin D and not be like, what's the lady, the Wicked Witch of the West, like, get outside and I like the sun hit me and I'm melting, like. But I like my house, and I like it dark, and I don't need no sunlight at times. But then when I go to the doctor, she's like, let me talk to you about something. your vitamin D level is not where it's supposed to be. And I'd be like, oh, really? And I'm act surprised. Oh, really? And she was like, do you get outside? Do you get any vitamin D? I was like, no, not really. I mean, I go outside, you know, sometime. And she was like, you couldn't possibly be getting any sun, because your vitamin D level is way too low. Yeah. So now I'm on once a week vitamin D, because I don't get enough sun. And I don't drink milk anymore.
It's from the box.
Girl, he's playing with some science kit he get.
Oh.
Lord Jesus. All right, Christian, we record. Mm-mm, take it on in there. That look nasty. Go on.
Oh my God. When they'll be getting out for Christmas break. Do y'all have any plans for doing anything over Christmas break?
He's gonna make me hurt him. I just realized that I was gonna be on vacation coming up soon. So no plan. I signed him up, and he's about to hear about it. But they're doing some literacy and coding thing for the school system online. And so I signed him up to do it online, and they're supposed to like give you access to it like on the 20th or something like that. So he's going to do that. I'm probably going to do last minute Christmas shopping. And other than that, I'm just going to chill. Like, I'm in the mood for the reason for the season. Like, my son does not believe in Santa Claus, which is fine with me. Boy, go on. He wants to be a part of the podcast. Boy, go on. It is 8:19. It is past your bedtime. Go on. Okay, go on. 8:19. Time to go to bed. Good night. Love you. Love you. I said I love you. Oh my God. This, put it on your sink. Sorry, y'all. But yeah.
This is real life. This is what happens.
Right.
And
the randomness, okay?
Yes, that's where the randomness comes from. So, but you know, I remember when I was in the office, people would take vacation, and they would be like, "Yeah, I'm gonna put on a whole new roof, or I'm gonna install, you know, like I'm gonna build a deck," and I'd be like, you on vacation? Why wouldn't you do that on the weekend? It's like, cause I need just a time. I'm like, no, if I'm on vacation, for me, I need to go somewhere. Like if I say I'm going on vacation, I need to be out. Like I can't just be at home and like working on projects. That's not, that's not for me. Now, if it's like a day where like I got a doctor's appointment, I just took off the whole day, I'm fine with chilling at home for the rest of the day. But if I'm taking 2 to 3 days off, I got to go. Let's get in the car. Where are we going? Even if it's just, even if it's just up to Cincinnati or down to Nashville or Indianapolis or St. Louis, because all those are within 4 hours of here. It has to be somewhere. I got to be doing something. I can't just sit for three days.
See, as long as I wake up and I am able, like the house got to be clean, living room got to be clean the night before, and I got me some incense to burn, like some sage and some other scent that just smells so good. And as long as I can wake up, have my Christmas tree glowing, and open up the blinds and let the sun come in and sit on that couch and just watch TV. Girl, I'll have TV. I'll have my laptop either on my lap or beside me just in case I want to do some Googling, and have my phone for Subway Surfer.
And just chill.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to go.
And that's not to say that I'm not going to do anything else, but I'm going to get up, take a shower, probably about 6 o'clock in the morning, like I normally do.
You won't even sleep in on your vacation?
Girl, sleep in. What is that? I have dogs. You know what I'm saying? And so the girls, they may still have to go to work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it'll still be me. Take care of them. And I like to get up, get dressed early, just in case I want to hit the door. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to, let me take a shower and then get ready. No, because then it'll never happen. I just need to go ahead and be prepared.
Oh my goodness.
I'm weird.
No, I can understand that. I like, if I can sleep in, it ain't no kids screaming or they cutting the line at 7 a.m. or my, trifling neighbors don't be making a whole lot of noise. Ooh, I can't wait to move.
Sound like a marching band going across the ceiling.
Oh, I can't wait to move. I can't wait to not have nobody over me and not have nobody beside me. My patience has grown real, real thin. Like real, real thin. So I can't take too much more. Like one more thing, and it's probably gonna be one of them set it off moments.
Oh Lord Jesus.
I don't know which moment it set it off, but it may be one of those moments off in here, and because this ain't for me. The GoFundMe
link will be on Instagram.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Yes.
For your bill.
Correct. I got to give somebody my card and my debit number and to be able to get me bail me out, because it's just one of them moments. I'm trying to be peaceful, but one of them moments is just gonna catch me on the wrong day, and it's not gonna be nice. So yes, I ran across this thing on Instagram. Was it maybe it was last week, and of course it's foolishness. Let me pull it up real quick. So before we do that, I had asked on Instagram on our page, what was the worst Christmas gift you've ever gotten? And so we did have some, responses, and one person said, use gloves. They were leopard print, but they smell like mothballs.
What? What's bad about that? Hold on. I wonder if they was more mad because they were used or because they smell like mothballs. Don't give me gloves. You can give me used gloves, but they better not smell like no mothballs.
That's a double whammy. Yeah, that's a double whammy. So,
some you can get gloves from the Dollar Tree.
From Family Dollar, Dollar General, the Dollar Tree, Big Lots. You ain't even got to go to the mall. You can probably get them at the corner store if you pay attention, because they probably bring them out. Somebody else said they've gotten a humidifier.
A what? See, that's that bull crap, Shireese. Don't be giving me something that I need for Christmas. Christmas is to get what is the purpose of Christmas other than the reason for the than Jesus being the reason for the season. Hallelujah. It's to get what you want. That's like someone giving somebody a pack of underwear. Who does that?
Some people get underwear for Christmas. Sorry, so
underwear for Christmas before.
I've never given. I don't think that I have, because I usually don't do Christmas except for my child and my mother. But I don't think I've ever given anybody any underwear. So humidifier and espresso set.
And that?
Like the coffee, like the fancy, like with the fancy coffee, like you get at Starbucks with the latte and the foam.
That's
and
a good
the,
gift. That stuff ain't it, cheap.
It's not cheap, but it depends on if you even drink coffee. Let's start there. Like you might not want it. Like that's the kind of stuff you almost can buy yourself. You kind of, like you said, for Christmas, you kind of want stuff like you maybe wouldn't normally buy yourself. Like for example, my daughter wants a Apple Watch. That's something you might have to save up for. And then you could get, you know, somebody might buy it for you for a Christmas present. That's something you want. And so last but not least, I think this is probably the craziest one. They got a pillow.
What? Not, what kind of pillow?
Not the kind that you put on your bed. It was like a decorative pillow that go on your couch. From the household section.
So somebody went into, what is that dang on store called?
Bed like Home Bath Goods.
And Beyond. Yeah, and saw pillows for sale. I mean, you didn't even give them four of them? You just, here's a pillow for Christmas?
It might have been one. I think it might have been two, but I'm pretty sure it was one.
That would have came over. My dog would have been laying on that pillow. Don't play. No.
Just a random pillow that they picked up and thought that would be a good idea for a Christmas gift. Did we talk about this last week about what we want? I think we might have talked about it, and I couldn't think about what my worst Christmas gift was. I don't think so. Do you have one for your worst Christmas gift? I can't really think of anything that was like out of pocket. What do you get?
Okay, several. But okay, so you have a cat. Okay, so you know how when we had that conversation about Tyler Perry, you know what to expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say
bad wigs.
Yes. So let's say I've had some Tyler Perry-ish gifts. If that makes sense. Like, oh God. If you see if I listen to this podcast, which they could possibly, because we have like 500 million followers, then please forgive me. Okay. Knitted hats.
Okay. This.
Knitted blankets. Stuff that, a gift card that had no gift on it. An empty gift card. How do you call somebody and say, hey, you know that $30 gift card you gave me? It says zero balance.
It says zero balance. It's zero.
You just got to say, thank you for my Christmas gift. No one ain't nothing on there. Like, yes. Come on. Then, what else have I? Oh, stuff like, I'm a 2X, okay? Been 2X for a 1 minute. Sometimes, if depending on which level of my body my weight has shifted, I might be able to get in a 1X, okay? Don't give me no 4X nothing, okay? Because somebody gave it to you and you ain't a 4X. And so,
assumed that I'm a 4X.
And now I'm walking around with pajamas on that even with a drawstring is hanging off my butt. But what can I do? Thank you for my Christmas gift. Like, come on.
I'm still outdone about the gift card. I feel like it was one of them situations. Somebody picked it up. And I'm going to automatically assume it was an older person. I'm just going to automatically assume.
No, not that old, Sharice. I'm telling you, my heart gets a thumping. And I don't know what it is that rises up inside of me. Because when you getting them, when everybody else in your household is getting the gift card, and they check their balance, and they got money. But when I check my balance, I don't got no money. Do I say, hey, you take half of yours, and then it'll give me a whole card?
No. You call the person and tell them. You have to call them. Because I feel like that might have been one of those situations where they got up to the register, thought they did all kind of cards. They did all the cards and yours kind of just got in there and it did not get swiped. And
they didn't wipe it off on their clothes.
They didn't realize that it didn't get swiped. So they just put it in the cart and was like, okay, I got everybody taken care of. And here you go. Because sometimes, like I know at Walmart, when you get a gift card and like other places, it'll give you like its own receipt. So you can, it can show like the actual balance. And I always try to put that in there because I've had crazy situations.
But don't you gotta ask for that though?
Not all the time. Walmart automatically prints it out. Like I bought a gift card at Chick-fil-A last week and it automatically prints it out as well. And it gives you, it's like a little bit of receipt and it just says like date of purchase, how much is on there, just so people will kind of know, especially if you don't write it on the card. So I don't know, maybe they didn't realize that they didn't.
But swipe. I like those things, but I know I've gone to like Home Depot, or Lowe's after Christmas because I'm like, oh, such and such gave me a gift. I need to get them one. And so I get it. But heck, I'd be done marked out the whole receipt by the time I mark out all the information that shows that I got it last minute for you.
And yeah, like, you need to get a gift receipt. You need to ask for a gift receipt instead. Either ask for what I normally do. Because like what happened to me the other day, I went to Target and I had bought a gift card and a card and I thought it was going to be, I thought she was going to be able to print me a gift receipt, but just for one item, the gift card, but it didn't. It ended up showing up on the whole thing. And I didn't really want them to see what like, how much I had paid for the like the greeting card. And so I was like, oh, okay, I remember this. Target doesn't do this. But what I normally do is I just make it a whole separate purchase by itself. Then ask, and even still then ask for a gift receipt. So if they need to take it back, right, it don't have like you bought, you know, a new pair, a 3-pack of underwear from Ross, you bought some towels. You bought a dish rack.
Right.
Plus
tampons.
You done bought the three dog toys. you bought Benadryl. Like, nobody needs to know all of that was on your bill for you to give it to them if they need to return something. No. Get them a gift receipt because that's embarrassing. Don't ever have to. We don't ever want you to have that experience to have to give somebody that with all your business and whatnot on it. Mm-mm.
So I'm walking around with a knitted hat and a zero balance on the gift card. And the and you just be like, oh my God, thank you so much.
So you didn't call the person and tell them that they?
No, I didn't.
Why? I'm surprised you didn't.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I'm surprised you did not call them and say, like, and it would be awkward. Like, hey, you gave me a card. But you didn't give me a card. Right. So, hey, how you doing? Like, right.
Thank you for pretending to give me a gift, I guess.
I don't know if I would have called.
Now, if it ever happened again, I will.
Okay, well, I hope it don't happen again. That should be that should definitely be a once in a lifetime type of event that should never, ever happen again. Absolutely.
It won't be a phone call, it'll be a text message though, because I can't have that conversation.
Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas, right. Happy holidays, Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. I got your gift card and I appreciate it. But I just kind of wanted to say it was empty.
Right. Like,
there was no balance on it. I'm just assuming it was, you know, oversight. You know, I just kind of wanted to let you know. and you know, that's all. And you know, you have a great day and be blessed, right. Highly favored. All right, I'll see you later. Thank you. Like, you don't even almost know like how to present that, you know, whether it's a text message or on the phone or what. Like, you just are kind of like,
grab messages say, hello, such and such. I don't know if you're busy. I hope not. But can you please come to the Thornton's on Dixie Highway? Because I tried to use that gift card you gave me.
But now
there's no funds available.
And now Thornton's think I'm scheming and they didn't call LPD.
They're trying to hold my car for collateral. Can you please come and pay for this $50 gas that I put in my truck because you told me I had a gift card?
They'd be like, ma'am, what were you trying to do up here? What were you trying to do? I was just trying to get some gas. That's all.
Oh my
God. I'm just trying to make it home. That is all. I just want to get home and I just want to. I just want to get him. I wanted to bring this up real quick. I saw this, and me being in the IT field, I thought this was quite comical. It was a story of 11-year-olds that was hacking into his school's Wi-Fi network and shutting it down when he didn't feel like going to school. And so he would shut it down for like 2 or 3 days at a time. Their IT people couldn't figure it out. The teachers was like, what is going on?
An 11-year-old.
And so he had done it for like three months straight. And so then they finally found out it was him. And it says the school district wanted to press charges on him, but ultimately couldn't because he was a minor. So what is his punishment? Because technically, I think what he might have done was a felony. Like, maybe, but I don't know. Can you charge an 11-year-old?
He has to be punished somehow, Sharita. But I do think that when you have someone like that who is obviously brilliant, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, to a certain extent, teach him how to use his intellect the correct way. Like, let him don't give him the passcode to where he can give him the passcode to Sallie Mae. Yeah.
Correct.
Give him Sallie Mae so he can just go in there and just do what he do. Hey, little boy, work your magic. Work your magic, right. Boy, young sir.
I'll be in the kitchen making you some cookies.
Right. What do you want for Christmas?
Correct.
And it will not be a Tyler Perry-ish year, okay?
Right. He's 11 and hacking into the school's network.
Yeah. System.
He needs to be in a gifted program. Yeah. So
embrace it.
So no punishment.
No, he needs to be punished. He has got to be punished because he does need to suffer the consequences for what he did, because it altered the learning, you know what I'm saying?
For other students.
However, after he's punished, teach him that he has to use his gift for good. And mm-hmm. then let him maybe intern with the, you know, maybe do something with robotics, or mm-hmm. I don't know if I see people do stuff with interested in robotics. Okay. Yeah. Just do whatever you can and get his parents involved, because maybe he's bored.
Yeah.
You know, and they just need to really embrace it.
And hone in on his skills. Yeah.
Yes, because it can be used for negative if they just punish him and don't do it again. No, let him know you don't do this. It's inappropriate, and that you could be facing. Make him do community service.
Yeah.
Make him teach with supervision, of course, because he didn't tell other kids how to break into the system. But let him teach older people who don't know. He can teach me how to use Instagram, because I still get lost. But let him teach older people how to use the internet.
Right. He can be. Now, I agree. I don't think his punishment needs to be like jail time, or like, you know, like what we had here. What's the youth place? JCYC.
Yeah.
I don't think he would do well in there. And I don't think that is like severe enough for like JCYC, for like a youth detention center.
Yeah,
I think yes, it should. She one should pull him out of school and get him into some type of gifted program. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I think community service probably will be good, because he has to have some kind of lesson learned to use it for good. He could also, if that's the case, I mean, he could almost start his own business, because hell, what's that boy that's like 7-8 year old, Ryan's, is it Ryan's World?
Mm-hmm.
What was that last year? Maybe it was 2019 or last year. Like he was like 7-8 years old. He made like $26 million. Like, so.
My son used to watch him.
And that's where he, you know, like, so I think if maybe he could start a YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like maybe the first 6 months of whatever he earns, he donates to like a charity or a nonprofit that helps kids learn how to code or something like that. Cause I just don't feel like, you know, like getting a whooping or a spanking or being on punishment until the end of time, or sitting in a corner, mm-hmm. or I don't feel like any of those punishments are going to really help him, because now you know your child has like great skills.
Yeah.
Hone in on it. And now I'm not saying like market him and just be like, hey, and do this, do that. And you know, like, cause he's still 11. He still is in, so he must've had a late birthday if he was still in elementary school. So he's going to middle school next year or whatever. So yeah, I wouldn't be like extremely mad at him, but I just was like, listen, these kids, I can't keep up.
If you have a kid who is young, you know, they're still impressionable, you know what I'm saying, at that mm-hmm. age, and it's like, if you whoop them, if you just you know, discipline them with nothing else, then you're pretty much telling them that the skills that they have is a bad thing. But you need to teach him, like, no, what you did was bad, you know. So the amount of, and teach him, because I know when I sat on the SBDM committee, what I learned was, like, so if you have a child that distracts the class, and it takes the teacher 20 minutes, so, and if that same child or other kids are distracting the class Monday through Friday, then that's 20 minutes per class times 5 days a week, you know what I'm saying? It takes away, and all that time takes away from the instructional period. So the amount of time that school was out, so if school was what, from elementary goes from what, 9:05 to 3:45?
Yeah.
So when this school was out, that amount of time times 3 days, then that's the amount of community service that he should have to perform.
That many hours,
that many hours, thank you. And then another thing I feel like you have to do with children is you have to not just rah, 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 which I do that, however.
And I've also done in the past,
But get them to have that two-way communication with you. Do you understand what you did? So what could you have done better? And that way, I feel like if you do that, then you will know whether or not your child fully understands what they did, you know. But most definitely, he needs to get involved in some kind of program, maybe a one of them, maybe an IT program,
like boot camp or something, or like he could teach, he could probably teach, you know, like teach other kids how to code, because it's a program that I follow on Instagram that I love, and it's called Black Girls Code, and it's a nonprofit, and that's what they do. They teach them how to, you know, how to code. And I just, you know, these kids are coding at 10 and 11, and hell, I was coding in undergrad and was still confused. So
my son likes coding. He learned a little bit of it, and he likes to do it. I don't know what all he learned, but that was one of the classes that he had.
Yeah, because these kids is coming out of high school with coding skills and can go right into like Google and Apple and they call it FANG. They call it FANG, which is Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google.
Oh, okay.
So you can work at one, or you can work at FANG or one of the companies in FANG. They beat me on coding. Okay, so that makes me think of, we used to talk about little boys. I also saw where there was a debate about, let me pull it up. There was a debate about, did I send it to you? Yeah. Okay. About little boys. It says social media debates about little boys playing with toy kitchens. And some people were saying that grill sets are for boys and kitchen sets are for girls. No little boy should be playing with kitchen sets. Some people said that it may make them gay for playing with a kitchen set. Some days I hate the internet because of just foolishness like this. Now, with you having a boy, what's your stance on, should they have a kitchen set to play with?
Can I just say that people lose all intelligence when they get behind them keys, like when they get to typing, it's almost like all common sense and just leaves out the window and ignorance just spews onto the screen. Like, but so I do not have it. Would I buy my son? My son is 10. Would I buy my son a kitchen set? No. Not because I would feel like it would make him turn him into, you know, a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Because he ain't asking for one. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's it. If he wanted one, then I would probably look for a blue one. That's mm-hmm. just me. But I would say, what do you want it for? But because I'm used to boys playing with trucks and this and that, but at the same time, like, there's some little black boy who came out with a black boy doll.
I saw that.
If my son played with dolls, I would get him one. I buy him plushies. I do not see a problem with boys playing with kitchenettes or whatever you call them. Yeah. Like somebody said in the comments,
like little tykes and step
that's
two.
In your daycares.
Yep. And that's
in your daycares. And see, this is the issue that we have, because we want to put these things on our kids, but yet what's wrong with a boy learning to go into the kitchen and cook? I'm sure there's plenty of women who would love to have a man who actually wants to go in the kitchen and make some eggs and make some toast. Mm-hmm. But if, as a young man, we're teaching them, that's women work. That, you know, that's woman work. We don't do that. Then you're teaching this man, this young boy, that his mama's supposed to be in the kitchen, that his girlfriend and his wife is supposed to be in the kitchen, and he's not supposed to be in there. And teach your son not to be a drug dealer. Teach your son not to hit women. Why are you worrying about a freaking kitchen set? It's like, the stuff that we worry about
is stupid
compared to what we should be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Is alarming. Yes,
it's very alarming.
Now,
putting pink on your son is not gonna make him gay.
No,
a kitchenette ain't gonna make him gay. I'm sorry.
I do agree, and I did read that comment about it being at daycare. Having worked in daycare settings before, yes, it is. There's a kitchen. There are vacuums. There are blocks. There are cars. There are puzzles. There are a whole bunch of stuff, because when they're that age, and I'm talking like 4 or 5, their mind needs to be stimulated, and it needs to be, they have the creative, and they're mm-hmm. learning, and there are baby dolls, and there are strollers, and there are some stuff. So I don't understand why it would be a problem for them to have a kitchen set. Now, maybe when, like, our girls were younger, all the kitchen sets that I can remember were pink. That's the only color that I knew that they came in. But like, if you look at like Step Two, or I think it's Kid Craft maybe, or whatever, uh-huh. they have like the wood kitchens that look like a real kitchen, and they don't just come in that so-called, you know, like girly pink. I just feel
that's
like
good to know. I didn't know, and I was just sitting here thinking, but maybe if they made it a little bit more masculine,
and they
people
do.
Wouldn't, because that visual, but that's good to know, because I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, like Melissa and Doug has one. It's quite
a
few, right? It's quite a few like companies that you can buy from that have like the non-pink girl type kitchens or whatever. Now, because here's the thing, because I think I posted a comment that said, what's the difference what's the difference with boys being in the kitchen with, say, their grandmother or their mother learning how to cook, and them cooking on a play kitchen? And I'm like, yeah, because if you look, like, I watch a lot of cooking shows, even though I despise cooking, I love cooking shows.
And New Hell's Kitchen is gonna be on point. I guess
I haven't seen I haven't seen the I need to finish watching the last season.
Oh, Lord.
Two episodes. I'm two episodes away from the end. But if you look in most kitchens, most chefs, it's a male-dominated career. It's a lot of women chefs, but majority of the time, it is a lot of men. Where do you think a lot of them men learn how to cook? And if you listen to them in an interview, a lot of them say, a lot of them say, I was in the kitchen with my grandmother, and that's where I got my passion from, because she made pasta every single day. Or my grandmother hosted Sunday dinner, and she came home from church early so she could get dinner started, or she put her beans on, you know, before she went to church, or she let me sit in the kitchen and snap the peas for, you know what I'm saying? So what is the difference in them playing in a kitchen versus being in the kitchen learning from your mother or your grandmother or your aunt or anything like that? Because that's where, if you listen to a lot of the interviews with a lot of the male chefs, that is where they pretty much pick up the love of cooking for. That is pretty much it. That's why I'm confused of that. Yeah, it's a lot of
issues. Maybe they have issues with their sexuality, mm-hmm. and they want to put it on their children. But Shireez, everything you just said was 1,000% correct, because I was even just sitting here just shaking my head and just thinking about the times just being with my, you know, in my grandparents' home, and it wasn't an alarm clock. Of course, you know, give glory to God for waking me up in the morning, but it was the smell of the breakfast. That mm-hmm. food, you know, just like at one movie that they had, I can't even think of what it's called, but a lot, especially with African Americans, it was about coming together as a family around the mm-hmm. dinner table. That's where we have the conversations. That's where you meet and you get to reconnect with your family. It is around the dinner table. I'm going to make this analogy just to try to make a point. When you have a baby, are you going to teach your baby to crawl first? Are you going to teach them to walk? How are you going to find it acceptable to let a boy play on a grill, but he don't know how to prepare the food in the kitchen?
Ain't the grill, you know what I'm saying? Cooking.
Exactly. So it's like, if he don't know how to wash his hands, if he don't know how to slice and dice up the stuff that goes on the grill to prepare the meal, where is it done at? It's done in the kitchen, in the kitchenette. And what does the kitchen have? Does it have, the kitchenette literally has a stove,
it has a sink, a cabinet, and a refrigerator.
I guess my husband's gay, because guess what? For my son's math project, him and my son were cooking last night in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's why.
And you know what class it was for? Math. Or math.
That's why I said that's why sometimes I hate the internet, because it just be stupid stuff. And I think somebody
they're passing
said,
it. Along their line.
I was going to say.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
that's what I agree, because when he gets older, if that type of misogynistic teaching continues, when he gets older, then that's what he's going to look for, or he's going to require, is somebody that cooks and cleans and does all the housework, and he never has to enter the kitchen. Because sometimes you think it's just that one thing, but then it also makes you think about what else are they teaching them, and then what else are they going to grow up with what kind of view, what other views are they going to grow up with into mm-hmm. an adulthood, and then what kind of adult are they going to be. But yeah, I thought that was real good and foolish. And
And I do agree that, because they are getting better with with the colors, because like you said earlier, they do have a lot of colors that are just very feminine. Now, if your child won't want, my son likes purple. If I see something purple that he like, hey, you like this? Guess what? I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
because it's about imagination. I would rather kids be playing in the kitchen or with stuff versus them being on a tablet for 8 hours a day or on a phone or something like that. I would like love for them to be able to use their imagination and creativity and whatnot versus being connected, you know, connected to the internet or whatever the case may be.
But you spewing your foolishness is more damaging to your child's growth, you know what I'm saying, and then being able to function in society than a freaking kitchenette.
Correct. Yes.
Let a child be a child and stop trying to put labels on everything. If your child go into the store and see a Barbie doll, if it's a boy and he sees a Barbie doll, a girl Barbie doll, he says, I want that. He might just, instead of boys don't carry dolls, just say, son, because sometimes we need understanding. Why that dog? Why do you want that dog? Get understanding. He might say, oh, because I want it for my girlfriend in school. You just never know.
Right.
You know,
or they have one a daycare just like it. And I want one at home, or I want to be able to take it, you know, take it to school for show and tell. But more than likely, those parents that's on there saying foolishness, they ain't asking, or probably more than likely doing any kind of, you know, any kind of parenting that gets the child's creative juices flowing. I highly doubt it. So something else that you have brought up, it kind of made me think about it, is this, people, this housing assistance question. So I'm going to read it to y'all real quick. It says, and this, what was this on? On the Shade Room. And it says, I believe housing assistance should be offered to the ages of 18 to 25 only to get young adults on their feet. I think it's unfair individuals are 25 plus on housing assistance, where younger people who's getting, let me clean this grammar up. Let's start there. I think it's unfair for individuals who are 25 and up that are on housing assistance when younger people who are just getting started have to get it out of the mud or pay $1,500 in the rent because there's no room for new applicants, all because Aunt Debbie, who's 42, has been on assistance since she was 19 years old. And that don't sit right with me. And at 27 and up, there should be no way your rent is $105.32. All right, what do you get?
I think she sounds stupid. Personally, I'm just like, I understand about young people, you know, help getting on their feet. But what do you think these older people want? They want help getting on their feet. And sometimes
staying on their feet. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And sometimes things happen and you need that assistance. And the thing is, we just have to trust the system, because nobody's just walking in the door saying, give me assistance. I want
give me Section 8.
And I want it
right
now.
And
they're saying,
J.D. Wentworth. Right.
Right. And they're saying, oh, yeah, here you go. There's qualifications. The government gets up in your, I'm talking about all up in your business.
Capital A-L-L.
Okay.
And bold, and italicized, and underlined, and is in red. So.
Right. So it's just like, and the thing is, when you're talking about ages 18 to 25, I have a daughter who is 24 who lives at home. She's paying her portion of the bills. You know what I'm saying? She pays her own cell phone. She pays her car insurance. She's not being put out. Heck, she got a dang on, almost like a dang on apartment, pretty much space down by herself. You know what I'm saying? But these kids, y'all the ones that want to move out and, oh, I want to be grounded. Why don't you chill? Stay with your family. If you can, get yourself established and then move out, and you won't need the government's assistance. But don't be trying to cut off the older people who need it, because they're not in your age range. So what happened on your 26th birthday? They supposed to throw your stuff out because you hit 25? Are you saying, oh, I just got this new job. I need 6 months.
You got 25, to go.
You done.
It's
a birthday cake. Like, no.
Since I have a 23-year-old, and I remember we talked about what age should kids get out of leave the house, or not really get out, but leave said parent home. I can understand where he is coming from, because sometimes, especially in our community, I don't know why, but we tend to put our kids out at 18 and tell them to go figure it out. Also, some kids need to be out of their parents' home if it's a toxic environment. I understand, and that also is that still that college age range, and it figuring out your life age range. Yeah. I understand where he's coming from, because yes, like housing prices are not cheap. Like it's two bedroom apartments that I've looked at that are like $1,500. And so, you know, it's not just Louisville, it's Atlanta, it's New York is a beast by itself. LA,
and you get closet space.
Listen, I watched this guy, what is his name? He's a New York realtor, Cash Jordan, I think is what his name. He's a New York realtor on YouTube. Some of the apartments be nice, but honey, some of them be like, you only can turn around and that's it. Like, you don't have space to do any, there's no ironing, there's no TV up on the wall. There is nothing.
Set your apartment on fire.
there is, you only have room for like a twin bed.
Oh, wow.
And it'd be like $2,500. Like, because you only have like
400 square feet.
400 square feet. You know, so I can understand where he's coming from, for them to be able to start off and maybe, you know, like maybe get on their feet. But I do agree with you, like, well, what happens if they are not settled by 25? Because everybody's not settled by 25. I mean, you know what I mean? So what happens when they turn 26? Is the sheriff at their door?
Yeah.
Ready to put all their stuff on the front line? You know, like,
that's what you want.
Now, do I believe that it's people that abuse the system? Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Can I do anything about it? No, I cannot. But things happen. And I do agree. You might have to be 37 and something happened in your life where you might need to go on assistance for 3 years and then until you can get back on your feet. Now, something you said made me think about this. For older people who are on their feet, but they're in their retirement age, I can understand why they would need it, because Social Security is not covering a lot of people's, a lot of seniors' bills. And we're just talking about like if they still paying on their house, or if they're renting LG&E, which is lights and gas. They might even have, what is that cell phone for the seniors? Jitterbug.
We call it a jitterbug.
It's look it up. It's called a jitterbug.
That's the one you can get on the corner at flip phone.
No, those are called Obama phones. But look it up. It's called a jitterbug phone for seniors.
Oh my God.
So, and like gas and food. And so they need it as well. So I wouldn't want to just cut it off for somebody that's, you know, I wouldn't want to cut it down for the ages of 18 to 25, but I do understand where he's coming from to be able to help them get on their feet. So yeah, plus you can't work when you, I mean, you can work when you're on Section 8, but you can't work like that and be making bank because you'll be paying regular rent. So you're going to still end up paying the $1,500 and you might only save 10 with, you know, Section 8 might only pay 10, and then you basically paying $1,490. So How was that, you know, like, how was that helping you? So, yeah.
And, you know, they said, you know, made a reference about Aunt Debbie, who's 42 and has been on since she was 19 years old. That doesn't sit right with me. You don't know what Aunt Debbie's been through. And I think that's the thing that frustrates me, because for somebody who, like, I've never been on Section 8, but I know people who I assume to have, I guess, defrauded the system, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, oh, you get frustrated, you know what I'm saying? And it's not fair. I've said before on other podcasts where my mom worked. I didn't have New Jordans, but people who had food stamps, I mean, because they told you that they had food stamps. Mm-hmm. They had the fresh Jordans when they would come out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You have these basketball players who grew up in poverty. And what do? When they become NBA players, they putting tennis shoes out here for $185, knowing their mama wasn't buying them no $185 tennis shoes. But that's what they're selling the earth for. Mm-hmm. Now, it's never going to be fair. The world is not going to be fair, but they're building more housing. And the thing is that, and I'm not trying to classify a certain amount of people, but we're going to lose some listeners on this one. If people stop acting foolish, and the people who are acting foolish, I don't care what race you are, what you know, what your cultural background is, if you stop acting foolish when you do get in some Section 8 or income-based housing or whatever kind of housing that assists you, then maybe there will be an opportunity to build even more. But people don't want you in their neighborhoods, because sometimes a small handful come with a whole bunch of chaos and foolishness. Mm-hmm. Because if on the lease is Rebecca, who is the mother, and her son Thomas, that's one person. That's two people on the lease, and that's one person, one car, right? Mm-hmm. But next thing you know, you see Rebecca, you see Thomas, and you see Thomas Sr. every once in a while. And when Thomas Sr. ain't there, you see Bobby. And it's like, who the heck is Bobby? And that is the child's father you got Thomas Sr., who is the child's father, who's not on the lease. And then when they ain't messing around, you got Bobby, who was the boyfriend. And these people are taking up everybody else's space, car spaces, you know, parking spaces. And then these people are causing chaos in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. because they bring in their friends. Next thing you know, the crime rate goes up, and this is all related to this housing over here, because they let you in under the premise that it was you and your son, but you
didn't let, I can understand it, yeah,
your boyfriend and everybody else. So people who pay regular, who have homes, their property, they want people, nobody buys a home wanting their property to decrease. But as crime comes in, property, you value know, goes the, down. The value goes down. So when it comes, you have some places, just like, and people were protesting the VA hospital going in that certain spot. That's a hospital that people was protesting. So when you come in and you make neighborhoods unsafe, and they talking about, oh, we're going to build housing and it's going to be affordable. No, make it unaffordable. because we don't want the people who can't afford it over here, because the people who can afford it got to go to work every day. I'm not going to work and having to watch my Ring doorbell because you home, because you want assistance. You know what I'm saying?
It That's sounds understandable. Crazy,
but it's all like, tied come together. Come on, people. Come on. It's an apartment complex behind me. Charisse, no lie. Somebody put a mirror outside. Mirror breaks in the alley, okay? Mirror breaks in the alley. Glass all over the alley. The homes that are on that that their driveway backs into, because I'm down the alley. The homes that are on my side of the alley where the houses are, they don't sleep up the glass. The apartment people don't sleep up the glass. You think the trash people who broke the mirror gonna sleep up the glass? You know who slept up the glass after looking at it? And this is, the glass was there before I went to Tampa. It was still there when we came back from Tampa.
That's
my
terrible.
Husband took my bags in the house. I came up on my porch, got the broom, walked down the alley, and swept the glass up back over there by the dumpster. That's the issue. You're not willing to do the simple stuff. You want to destroy it, then you want to get, I ain't going there. Nope. Next topic, Charisse. So,
Okay, well, let's move on to reality roundup. Let's move on to reality roundup. Are you still watching Portia's show?
I am watching Portia's show.
And I'm still not.
I don't know if an episode came on Sunday, but Portia ain't worth no more than 2 minutes on this thing. And I would say this. My only comment is this. She want her cake and she want to eat it too. And it is obvious that she still has feelings for Dennis.
Dennis the hot dog man.
Girl, yes, but she is not willing to admit it. I think the old boy is controlling. I think she overdoes it, and I think she is unsure. I think their whole relationship is based on what he can do for her. All right.
Well, that's what I've kind of figured, because I saw a clip. Sorry, y'all, I got choked up. I saw a clip. What was it? Or somebody was saying something like, she was saying Dennis couldn't bring a date to something, or so she's trying to control him and what he do. And then also, you know, keep it up, or what's going on with her and Simon. I don't have time for that. Okay. So listen, if you keep on watching, I'll keep you in my thoughts.
Ready you to keep me in your thoughts.
Yeah, I'll keep you in your thoughts if you keep watching Portia's show. Ready to Love. Now, like I told you before we started, I did not watch it, but I did listen to somebody's reviews and I saw a few clips. I am going to go back and watch it, but I pretty much got the gist of it. Camille.
Oh.
And her whole I don't like this season. I'm not gonna lie.
Can we call the show Ready for Rehaul instead of Ready to Love?
Ready to go home, ready to brunch, ready for therapy.
Yes, ready for therapy.
Ready to be friends. Ready to be friends.
Ready for my 2 minutes of fame. I don't know.
Ready to get my Instagram account numbers up. Ready to get booked by the next model agency.
Ready for a one night stand. I don't know.
I don't know. It just, nothing about this season gives me, I told y'all before, nothing about this season gives me any indication of love on the horizon. They are already at the resort, and that might be like episode 8. And it's still like no couples, well, except Camille and Cornelius, which I don't understand why they won't vote them off, because if they only have each other, normally they are really quick to vote them off. And they can, it ain't like once they get voted off, they are legally barred from talking to each other or continuing the, you know, the relationship. Like, oh my God, you stay on the north side, you stay on the south side, y'all cannot talk in any or be together in any shape or way, shape or form until the show is over or to the reunion. No, get them off the show. They taking up space. And I don't like the clips that I saw of how she was just talking to him and emasculating him, and it just, and he just was accepting it, and I just, it ain't for me. And then they was about to get into a fight, and she hollering, "I'll F you up," and I don't.
Tyrese.
I see, oh my God. Nothing at all. Nothing.
Somebody said on the show, I think it was Aisha, when you know how they do that little green screen thing. She said something like, "Cornelius, blink twice if you need
if you need help."
I swear.
I don't know if he, I just don't know. I can't even speculate because I'm confused. Part of me feels like he doesn't, when he first started off, he didn't look like the type that would take that kind of treatment. But as the episodes go on, I could kind of see why he takes that kind of treatment. Yeah, it just, I don't even know. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I don't even know if I want to even finish the season. I might just stop and just wait to the reunion, because, or let it build up for the next couple of, I think they only have maybe, probably what, 2 or 3 more episodes to go, because they got to be on like episode 8. Let me see. I'm going to look real quick, y'all. Let me see. What is it?
What's that girl? What's the girl's name who keep messing with Cornelius, who want Cornelius?
Camille.
Yes, Camille. You, with her, when you see her, you have to run the other way. Because, number one, we have to remember, she is a performing arts teacher or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wonder, are you acting? Are you really as crazy as you are, as you're coming off? You know, but there's something about somebody who is in, who was engaged 3 times, never got married. And it's like she pushes it. Like, it's almost like being that type of female who, the ones that have an agenda. Oh, I want to get married. I want to this. And so it's okay. The guy gives you the ring. And then it's like, no,
it kind of fizzles out.
And it fizzles out. And I think that she is going to hurt Cornelius. So either there's a whole other side of Cornelius that we just ain't seen. I think that Cornelius needs to really exercise his faith. And he need to pray to God, because I just feel like God has just kind of smacked him across his face. Like, dude, you have got to see this. She is not the one. How you going to try to give him a necklace talking about days or something might be hard, but with God, it's going to get better. Something she said. Like, girl, you are smothering him. Their relationship is going to be old in 2 months, because she is going to, who you with? Where you been? Who's on the phone?
But if he accepts it, it'll be long lasting. So they're on episode 9. They have, I think they have one more episode left. It couldn't be, because they have to have more than 10 episodes, because I don't know what they will be. I guess wrapping up at episode 10, and then the reunion will probably be like the first part of the year. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch. I said I was going to go back and watch this episode, but I just don't feel no love, no connections, just nothing at all.
We've
for this show.
We talked about counselors being there, right?
Correct.
Do you think that what we see going on now would be, because we're going to have to write Tommy, obviously, because they're not going to change anything. So you and I are going to have to take over. So do you think that, right, producing, the Sharice and Sharice, like producers of the new season. So do you think that during this time right now at this house, it would be appropriate for a counselor to just kind of, you know how they do, because I know you ain't never watched it, but
what?
There's a show called Marriage Boot Camp.
I've watched it in Foolishness.
Yeah, okay, but I've watched how they sit back, mm-hmm. the people who have the counselor, they sit back and they and watch observe. Them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like somebody, because these people don't know how to be in relationships. They got cameras in their faces and they have to decide, the people who were actually there for love, that one guy, they sent him home.
When yeah, he was and they sent Carrie there home
for
too.
Love. Mm-hmm. Carrie, there for love. But everybody else is trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. It seems like anyway. And it just why did Sabrina all of a sudden come out with that ride in the car? I was a dancer for 10 years. And old boy's like, oh, you were? Oh. But then him and this is light skinned dude. Well, a couple of light skinned dudes are buried. But you know which one I'm talking about? That was dating, that was talking to Sabrina and the Maui girl, whatever her name is. I can't think of her name.
You talking about Walt?
Yes. Him and the dark chick, I can't think of her name. Starts with an M.
I just call her Mimi.
Mimi. They wrote a song together. When was this? Why this wasn't on the show? Why we didn't see this?
That's my whole point, is that 1 hour is not enough. And whatever, if they have 27 hours and they have to cut it down to an hour, we are missing so much. They could just make each episode be 2 hours or make it be an hour and a half, because we are, especially for this season. On other seasons, I didn't feel, because I started in season two, three, two. I didn't feel this confused in season two, three, never. And four. I didn't feel this confused. I don't know what is happening, but like I said, I might hold off and just wait till the reunion airs and then go back and watch the last two episodes, because I don't have no connection. If it gets worse, I don't know where they're going next, but I don't know what happened with DC. I don't know who was on the casting committee, who production company is, who's doing the editing, who's doing the producing, who casted these people. That's like we talked about last week. Sabrina does not want any more kids. Walt wants kids. They should not even be talking. Maybe a hello, how you doing? How was your day? Can you give me some fruit when you're at the bar?
Right.
Can you bring me a napkin back?
And move on.
So that's
who
why,
has
yeah.
kids between Walt and Dante? Because I get them confused.
Dante is the one with the three baby mamas.
Okay.
But here's another thing about like him. I have still not heard anything about one, how old his kids are and what happened. Like, because listen, everybody has a past. Absolutely. Some people are wilder in the younger days than others. And I would like to kind of almost know, like, was it one of them kind of situations where he was just maybe in the streets and he was wilding and his kids are like 10, 11, and you know what I mean? Like they're older.
Mm-hmm.
Or does he have, is he 40? Is he in his 40s? I think he might be in his early 40s. Let's just say he's 40. But if he got like a 5, a 3, and a 1-year-old, that means you just had kids like in your late 30s and with 3 different women, like close together. That's the kind of information I would like to know. But of course, we don't get that.
Circle back potential.
We don't get that kind of information with the show. So yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna watch. I'll decide. We'll see.
You know, he's 38. You know, okay. That the fitness trainer girl, can't think of her name.
Zadia.
Do not like her. Her and Camille have become the mean girls. Mm-hmm. of the group. Mm-hmm. They remind me of the ones from last season. The two girls who, and one girl would always start meddling. And remember, she got sent home.
Alexis. You talking about the one that was in that liked AJ?
I can't remember their names too good. But remember, they were the two girls got real close. Like they would bet, and they would call themselves. They named them
Girl. I know who you're talking about. Them.
That's who they remind me of, because Zadia keeps jumping in Camille's business. And Camille's like, I'm ready for some stuff to get started. She wants
Why are you ready to do, you know, like nuck if you buck at a love retreat? Like, why you ain't at the pool relaxing?
But it's like, okay, keep on nucking if you bucking, because guys don't like conflict. And they're looking at her because Dante is now, he's team Aisha. But what's so tricky and had my mouth wide open in surprise is when they show the preview for the next episode, mm-hmm. and it has Frank and Mimi, and she's like, so we've been such, so I choose you. Do you choose me? Now, that's with editing. She could have been talking to a hot dog or something, and he just happened to be there. I don't know.
Yes, I choose you. Yes, right. You as in all the toppings.
Right, because it's like, when were y'all even having a conversation? Dante and Aisha, their conversation was over the phone primarily. So
we have missed a whole lot.
Frank, yeah, because 1 minute she's with Frank. Then she was with Phil. Now she letting Dante massage the gluteus maximus and all this other stuff. And it's just like, where did this come from? And I'm so, I don't even know who got sent home yesterday. And
Nobody. I believe they left it on a cliffhanger. So then we won't know until next week. Somebody will get sent home. And because, you know, they only stay at the location. Like last season, I think they only stayed for like 2 days, but they made like 2 or 3 episodes out of it. So nobody gets sent home. I think they, from my understanding, they were talking to them like they had picked 2 people, but then they didn't actually send anybody home. So you may have to just tell me what a reunion is. And that's probably what I'm going to watch it. Oh, speaking of reunion real quick. Love and Marriage Huntsville reunion hosted by Carlos King. The second of the third of the 3-parter. I'm glad they put it in 3 parts. I think it would have been way too much for 1 part. Like I told you, I haven't watched it. I listened to a review and I saw some clips. Whew. That Martell.
Yeah. I'm Charisse. Seriously. All seriousness.
A lot of men out there.
Mm-hmm. Girl. Martha Hope. And this is allegedly, but I feel this and I'm not making fun of him. Martell Holt has a learning disability that has not been diagnosed. I'm so serious. Like, he's been able to slide under the radar, but every time he opens up his mouth, I feel like Precious. He needs to be evaluated. Like, seriously.
You know, I've never watched that movie.
Oh no, I don't mean, and I don't mean Precious. Like, I just like, oh, poor baby Precious, you know. But you don't want.
I thought you was referring to.
Come on, no. No.
I was like, no, I've never watched it. I've never seen it. I know, because it's abuse in it. I don't do well. Mm-mm. Triggering. Yeah. You know what? You could possibly be right. That is possibly right. I don't know. It's just something about Martell that rubs me the wrong way. And to think it's so many other guys out there that are like him, that function, that have that mindset and function like him, and that kind of like alpha male kind of world. And just, I don't know.
His mama didn't let him play with a kid in the kitchen set.
Yeah.
And that's what you get, because they have that mentality that this is what a man do, this is what a woman mm-hmm. do. And how dare you go to the elders? I don't know what the hell elders you talk to that girl, pretty much said
the ones at the laundromat.
You need to learn how to cheat better. I swear.
You know where he got that advice from? He actually didn't go to an elder. You ever been to a arcade and it have that that fortune teller in the inside?
Mm-hmm. All right, good night, y'all. I'm setting my laptop. Okay. Control Alt Delete.
Ooh,
oh my God!
That's where he got mm-hmm. his. That's where he got his advice from. He didn't.
That's that movie Big with Tom Hanks. You talking about like a gypsy thing?
Yeah, it'd be like a gypsy, it'd be like the half body robotic gypsy, you put a quarter in and you ask her a question, or she give you like random advice. That is where he got his advice from, because either there or an elder. You know how it's them old men that hang at McDonald's like every morning.
Talking crap. Mm-hmm.
He got it from there, or he got it from that gypsy machine. That's where he got his advice from.
And he's sitting at home shaking that eight ball with them questions and answers.
Right. Look, that is a good answer. Go with that.
Oh,
no.
My God.
No. You know, I don't like any of the men on the show. I don't like any of them. Me. They exhaust me, mentally exhaust me, and I'm just glad it's not me. I'm just absolutely glad that it is not me, and I have some type of discernment not to be in that kind of relationship, or was ever in that kind of relationship to put up with that kind of foolishness. So
you gotta listen to Funky Don Evo, because I listened to his review of the show.
Okay.
And he breaks it down so, so perfectly that he's just like, he's really not, he's so protective over Adrian Carey, the baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you might as well just go ahead and benefit off of it now, you know, because it's already out there. Melanie is doing what she doing.
Martell is.
Yeah, everybody knows. But the thing is, what's the stupid thing? Martell has a adolescent mind, because he wanted to. How do you sit in between your ex-wife on one side, one of your best friends on the other side, and you say that your best friend was trying to hook up with your wife, because the night that y'all got, that you and your wife got into it, he contacted her and asked her out for drinks. But yeah, you missed everything. I will never forget what you said one day, Charisse. You said, some people listen to understand and some people listen to respond.
Martell's a responder.
He is a responder, because it's like he doesn't even listen to what he says. And I think in his life, because his father was not there, that his mom, it's okay, Martell. It's all right. It ain't your fault, you know, and she has pacified him. One of his biggest things is that hinders him as far as financially, I guess, is that he does not have his builder's license. That's why Melanie is able to move the way that she's able to move, and she can still have Holt, whatever company or whatever she called it. Mm-hmm. You don't have your builder's license.
But so he's a general contractor, though, but he still should be able to work.
He can still work, but he can't make
that deals. Next like, step. Yeah.
He can come put up some drywall. He can probably be the
organized, like the project coordinator. Yeah.
Yeah, but he might have dyslexia, just saying. So you might want to just make sure that everything, and I ain't trying to be funny, but he got some stuff going on, you know. I think I'm a little dyslexic as well. But he got stuff going on that he needs to really get a neuropsychological evaluation.
Because he don't think nothing's wrong.
He might all need three, Adderall. Actually,
all know. Three of them. All three of them don't Girl, think nothing's wrong.
Because they got them women right beside them telling them, because when they was talking about Destiny and her ex-husband about that whole last name, I understand about a legacy. I understand. But that ain't no reason to file for divorce 3 weeks after your wife has given birth
and
to your
still
baby.
And still in postpartum.
Yeah, she's still walking around with diapers on. Yeah, like with pads on from the rooter to the tutor. And you then filed for divorce from her for whatever reason, but one of your issues was the last name. The thing is, I know that he might not understand, but when I got married, my name is hyphenated because my daughter is not by my husband, and I still wanted to have a link with mm-hmm. her. So I was going to hyphenate my name so I can still have my daughter and my son. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And my husband didn't have an issue with that, you know, but they put so much on the name. How about you worry about how you're going to treat me in this marriage?
Well, that's the thing. The thing is, they showed on the episode that they talked about it when they was at the dinner. And I'm like, he knew that before going into it. So why did they even get married? But you know mm-hmm. what? When I was listening to the review, somebody put up a clip where they said in their review that Destiny said they got married because they had been together a long time. And they should have never got married.
But only 5 years. But only 5 years, I think, is
well,
what she said.
That's 100 years to some people.
Girl, right. And she said
that's dog years.
Right. She said their relationship was better when they lived in separate states or something. They lived when they had a long distance relationship. I think it's crazy. I don't like Tiffany, her husband. They need to go.
They'll be back next semester. I'm not next semester, girl. Not next season.
They are not right for that show. And I understood what Kimmy and them were saying, because you come on this show talking about transparency, but nobody knows anything about you, and you stand up here trying to hold everybody else accountable for being transparent. But what are your flaws? What's your issues? And it ain't nothing like somebody who didn't, just because you didn't been divorced, just because you done been divorced does not make you an expert on what not to do. That's what you mm-hmm. that's what you couldn't do with her. That don't mean that you have all the answers for, you know what I'm saying, for it. Why don't you just sit back and chill? But this is these forced relationships with these
people. She came out the gate with that what song is it? I'm trying to think of a rowdy song that you just like talking outside of your neck. Like it just, she didn't come in calm and, hey, how y'all doing? It's nice to meet you, or this is great, or whatever. You came out, and I do agree, nobody really knows much. Like, well, what happened with your first divorce, or what happened with, you know, I mean, your first marriage, or how do your boys mm-hmm. get along? Or none of the stuff, I mean, that we want to see, we get from them. So they'll be back next season.
Did you hear about that thing that it something good did come up last night though, and I forgot to tell you about it, but they brought up because when Martell was in Atlanta, Marceau was there, Maurice was there, and Adrian Carragher was there. And so Tisha and Kimmy was like, why didn't y'all leave? Like, if your friend is cheating on his wife and the girl's there, why wouldn't you leave? Would you expect your man to leave?
Okay, let's just be honest. First of all, if you find out after the fact, one, there's nothing you can do about it. Two, if he is destined to cheat, if it's on his heart, if it is in his mind, and he is being led by his penis, therefore, he is going to cheat whether we all together or we all separate. So even if Maurice and Marceau had left, it's more than likely that girl was going to still be there. She was going to stay. And then there still would have been cheating. If they stayed like they did, there was still cheating. They cannot control Martell. And Tisha and Kimmy should know that from Mel's experience with Martell, you cannot control him in any way, shape, or form. All you can do is be like, I don't think this is right. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm just going to go get me a hotel room because I don't like this. That's all you can pretty much say. You can't drag him out of the hotel room or the Airbnb and be like, no, I'm not going to let this go on. He is a grown man. He knew what he was doing.
I just heard gunshots. I'm sorry.
Would I expect my guy to leave? I don't know, because is he, like I said, I feel like it's a catch-22 either way, because if he stay, his friend is more than likely still going to cheat. If he leaves, his friend is still more than likely going to cheat. Is it going to have a bearing on our relationship? No, because it's not my guy cheating, but it's his friends. And if that's how his friends are, then that's how his friends are.
Yeah.
And they grown. Now, if it was like a 16-year-old or something, then you'd be like, let's go. You're not going to put up with none of this foolishness. But for somebody that's in their 30s, I don't really know what Tisha and Kimmy really expected from their husbands and what they expected them to actually do.
That's a lot of things.
And I don't know what they expected them to do in that situation. So what do you think?
I think that the women would have wanted them to leave simply because of how it looked.
Especially being on a TV show, which is understandable.
How dare you? And then it's like, if you can sit with somebody who is cheating on their spouse, then that's a way of saying that you're okay with it. So why? It almost kind of makes you a cheater as well without cheating. Because I'm not about to break bread with you. You know what I'm saying? Why would you want to break bread with somebody who is doing that? Because it's like telling them that what you're doing is okay. But like Maurice and Martell said, it wouldn't have changed anything. Them leaving wouldn't have changed. No, I know, and that's I would have wanted my husband to leave.
And that's my whole point. Because if Martell was there with that girl, he was going, if that girl was there, it was already set up for her to be there. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like they were in Atlanta and they ran into each other and was like, oh, hey, come on back to the hotel, or come on back to the Airbnb and we can chill. And then right then and there, they may have had a chance to be like, no, nobody's coming back. Y'all made it up. But more than likely, this is what I think, more than likely, they went on that trip. Martell did not even tell them she was coming. She probably just popped up, and maybe popped up with her friends, and they was like, what the hell? And like I said, what do you really do?
Where does she live?
She lives in Huntsville, but like Atlanta and Huntsville is only like 3 hours apart.
So the Adrian Carey girl lives in Huntsville as well.
As far as I know, yeah, she lives in Huntsville.
Okay. So I don't know why I thought she lived somewhere else.
Yeah, she lives in Huntsville as well. So that's I don't know. I mean,
Melanie must not be able to leave with the kids because she was saying something about she hates Huntsville. It's just a bad place for her.
Well, I thought she had got a place in Atlanta and they was doing, I guess they were still doing the week on, no, 2 weeks. I think they were doing 2 weeks. So he would have the kids 2 weeks and then she would have the kids 2 weeks. That because they lived and they would meet in the middle. I feel like we talked about that at the beginning of the season, where they were meeting in the middle, which would have been like an hour and a half drive for each of them. But instead of doing every other week, they were doing 2 weeks.
But because of something she said last night, it made me think that she's not able to leave.
Because like she still has a house in Huntsville. But I thought she had bought a house in Atlanta. I could have sworn
she probably did, but she mentioned something when she was crying in her dressing room with her mom. She was just like, because she said something about she has tried to prove that he is an unfit parent, but it just has to be more. And she was just like, that's why I just hate being here. And I know that he also filed for custody or something. And he might have filed for something to where she's not able to take the kid out of the state. Like, and maybe when he has them, she can be in Atlanta. But then when, you know what I'm saying? But
she does, and she can be. I mean, she has them, she has to stay in Huntsville. And that may be the case. But like I said, I don't like any of the men on the show. Let me take that back. I don't really know Tiffany's husband like that because, like, they just came. But as far as Maurice, Marceau, and Martell, I don't like any of them. I don't like any of them. And it ain't for me. It just, that life and them men and their misogynistic views, it just ain't for me.
Yeah. So you know Martell is even saying, like, he didn't mention it the last episode because it was the reunion, but the episode before that, how she had her video released, he was even saying something like, pretty much trying to take credit and maybe I should get 50% for this because
the pain that you caused for me to have to write this song,
and I supported you, and during this whole time I was pushing you to do it, and it's like, boy, you are trying. See, this goes back to that needing assistance. He might need that housing assistance, and he's over 25. And I ain't trying to be funny, but the way he ain't moving right. He got to shut up. He got to disappear for a little bit and be quiet.
Well. Because episode, I think the episode when him and Melanie met, she said something. No, he said that I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to file for full custody of the kids. And I think like right before he said that, she had said something about, well, I helped pay your rent for a whole year. I was getting the kids' hair done for a whole year or something like that, or so paying for you to stay in the house or whatever. But it sounds like Mel was supporting him even though they got divorced, so the kids will have a stable place to go. So, sir, sit down, sit
several things.
Kendrick Lamar say, sit down and be humble. Because and like we've said before, Huntsville is small. It's a small town. But the thing is, you are on this TV show and people probably know you in the city. You and your shenanigans are making you not get contracts and be able to get work and not be able to, you know, like maybe hire people or create your own company. It might be somebody down at the county clerk's office that's slow walking your paperwork for your, you know, for get your LLC because they don't like you on the show. Like you don't really never know how all the things are connected off the show because of people's like, you know, like people's shenanigans or whatever. So,
and he still has the perfect platform to do right, but like Funky Don even said, everybody on that show, because I guess Marceau mentioned it. A girl got double masters. A boy just got his law degree, his JD, whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. Timmy's a nurse. Melanie is handling her business. Martell needs to set goals. He's pretty much like the lowest person on the totem pole now. And he went from up here to down here. And the thing is, he had an emotional. It was more than physical. He had an emotional relationship with this woman as well. Mm-hmm.
And that very much so.
And they said, Carlos King asked, he said, do you regret doing the show? And he said, I think he said yes, because stuff came out that should not have come out. No, if you just stop cheating. Like, well, you went outside that was the exposed. Home during COVID. Yeah. And that was cheated on your wife.
That his affair was exposed. That's the thing. So yeah, well, we'll see what happens on reunion part three. And until then, I am going to put up a Google link, Google survey form link in our bio. And for all our listeners, we would love, love, love if you all would click on it. I'm going to put it up on, what's today? Today's Monday. It'll be up on Wednesday the 15th. So by the time you listen to this, it's going to stay up for probably, we're going to keep it up, a month, and just let people, we'll just keep it up till next year. We'll just give people time to be able to fill it out, because we know everybody doesn't listen as soon as the episodes come out. But we would like for you all to fill out the Google form and be as honest. We are looking for feedback. And it's going to be on our Instagram page in our bio. And then we'll also link it. Can we link it on Facebook? Is there a way to link it on Facebook?
I don't know. We're going to have to hit up that little 11-year-old boy and ask him.
Right, ask him. So we definitely know it will be on our Instagram in our bio. And you just click the link and fill it out. It is anonymous. We are not collecting any kind of data, but we just want your honesty. And you can find us on Instagram at The Virgo Experience, and you can find us on Facebook at The Virgo Experience podcast. And I am Cornelius's masculinity.
I'm the kitchenette that your son wants for Christmas.
And we will see y'all later. Bye.